This is the fourth in our series on heroes of the faith. And you recall the context, and if you haven't been able to listen to the other messages, I invite you to do so at our website, which is gracechristiancenter.us. Do that so well, you guys, .us. All right, so this is our fourth in a series, and we're looking at the heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. Remember the context. Hebrews chapter 10 is where the Lord is saying to his people, God takes no pleasure in those who turn back. Remember? And then you go to Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 10, don't turn back. And the meaning of those Greek words is really profound. And it's talking about not only turning back, getting discouraged, but it means those who have really basically stubbornly chosen to think they know better than God how to lead their lives. And this thing called Christianity, it's not working out so well. How's it working for you? And so Hebrews 10 says, don't do that. God's not pleased with the person who turns back. Hebrews 12, he comes over and he says, now in Hebrews 12, he says, remember, you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed. You've not yet stood against sin and temptation so strongly to the point of blood. Meaning, you haven't gone through what Jesus has gone through. How many know, no matter how bad it gets for you, you haven't been impaled on a cross? You haven't gone through everything he's gone through. But in order to get to Hebrews 10 to Hebrews 12, he puts some encouragement there for God's people in Hebrews 11. And he says, now look, I know it's tough, but I want you to know people through history in our faith have lived this thing. They put their trust in a God they cannot see and in a God they're not certain about, but they followed him to the blessing of faith that lives through the ages to us today. Because what was happening to these Hebrews is they were discouraged. Jesus is off the scene. They can't see him. They can't touch him. They can't feel him. And after a while, when not knowing where he went and times are tough, it's easy to start wondering, did we do the right thing? We gave up centuries of our Judaism religion. We see the temple every day. We know what that's like. And you can smell the sacrifice and feel the sacrifice. And you see the blood shed for you to cover over sins. And that was something real and tangible. Maybe we blew it by going this route with Jesus. Maybe we need to go back. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, God's not pleased if you turn back. Don't turn back. You haven't yet resisted to blood. Hang in there. There's a whole bunch of people who have walked this road. Follow them. This morning, we're going to take a look just in an initial simple way at Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 1. I want you to tune into the verse again. Hebrews 11, verse 1, reading from the New King James to begin with. Now faith is the, say it with me please, substance, the reality of things hoped for, the what? Evidence of things not seen. From the New Living. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Gives us assurance about things we cannot see. From the Message, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Come on, guys, are there some things in your life that you just seem or feel every now and then lost about? Can you be honest with me? Have you had some promises in your life you haven't seen fulfilled? Have you had some things you want to see in the Lord? Good things, not bad things. Good things you want to see happen and you haven't seen them happen yet? Come on, turn to each other and say, are you real? Because some of you are sitting there looking at me like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. Hey, guys, we're in this together. There's some things in life that haven't all worked out right. And where'd God go? You ever fought that? Man, you got your kid in the hospital or you're in the hospital and you're going, Jesus, where'd you go? He says, I'm right here. I'm right here. Now, faith, the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Assurance about things we can't see. Each of the heroes in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, exhibited this faith. exercised this faith. They literally exuded this faith. This is how they walked. Each of them, watch this, each of them heard God they could not see, believed what they couldn't prove, obeyed God, and tangibly made movement to change their lives. They didn't just mentally assent. Whatever they believed God spoke to them, they made change in their lives and began to do. You all know, right along with me, the ouch reality is, I can say all day long I believe it, but if I don't do it, I don't really believe it. Right? Ouch. I just would rather mentally assent on some stuff. I'd rather just acknowledge it. He says, no, you got to do it. And number four, they obtain promises no one before had been given. They knew in the knower. Come on, you ever know that? You knew in your knower. They knew. They just knew they heard from God. What do you mean God told you that? How do you know that? I just know. Now, if it's a sinful thing, you're missing it. Okay? You know, you've heard those stories before. I took this lady married to somebody else, or I was married to, or whatever, went to the motel. And I said, okay, Lord, if you don't want me to do anything with this person, you make somebody show up the door and knock on the door and share Jesus with me. You just make that happen, and then I'll know it's you. How many know what did not happen? Nobody showed up at the door. You know, you've heard those stories through time. And we get ourselves off the path. We go into sin and we go, well, how come you didn't bail me out? And we make choice. And so if it's sinful, don't put your trust in what you're hearing. But if it's in accordance with the Word of God, it's about being close to Him, growing, doing, obeying, walking in this Word, getting your heart right with Him and all that. Listen to the promptings of the Spirit of God. How many know the Spirit of God is wanting to talk to you and me?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, somebody sitting right next to you that's got needs this morning or needs this week. And maybe the Lord says, I want you to call Dean. I want you to all call Dean Larson this afternoon. Okay, but if the Lord prompts you to do it, you know what we do when the Lord prompts us to do stuff like that? We go, oh, come on, that's not God. Oh, that was because I ate a bad hot dog. Oh, that was, you know, we think stupid stuff. Oh, that's going to be silly. He's going to think I'm really a dork. And who cares? If it's an encouragement from Jesus, how do you know? You need to give it. And they need to hear it. Simple stuff. Right down to simple stuff. Maybe the Lord wants you to call your spouse in the middle of the day, your friend, your brother, or whoever, and say, I just want you to know you're not alone, and I'm here to encourage you. That's of God. So they listened, they heard, they believed, they obeyed to obtain promises. Watch this. They trusted God in whom they were. Say it with me. Certain. Prove it. Noah's building the boat for 120 years. Prove it's going to rain. God said so. I know and I know her. That's how they were certain. That kind of faith. That kind of faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Verses 8 and 9 is where we'll begin this morning. Verses 8 and 9, I'm going to read it from a couple of different versions. Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9, New King James. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land. The New American Standard Bible says, by faith, he lived as an alien in the land. Land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in what? In tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What happens to you affects your family, doesn't it? Out of the message. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Let's talk a little bit about Abraham. And there's an overhead pat over here. There's two of them. The first one doesn't have all the different cities on it. So, okay, thank you. There's Abraham was 70 to 75 years old, living in Ur with his father. Follow over to the right-hand side here, if you can. Maybe, Pat, if you would lift that up just a little bit, and if I would get out of the way. Down here is Ur, right over here. So he's living here at 70 to 75 years old. He's living with his family, and God says it's time for you to get up, leave your family, leave your home. He's what age? What age did I say?
75.
He's 70 or 75. He's what age? What was that?
70.
Turn to each other and say, how old was he? When people are starting to say at that time of age, saying, been there, done that, I've done my part, I'm just going to go to church. Nobody's saying that here, though, right? Now, you're not all moving out next week. That's not what this is about. Okay, so. But anyway, God says, get up and move. So he comes all the way up the Euphrates River, comes up here to Haran. His father, Terah, lives with him here until for about 15 more years. And Terah dies at age 205. Now, at that time, God speaks to him, Abraham, again. And he says, I want you to come into this land that I've promised you. This is your land. Land of blessing. Land of promise. So that's where we're going. Down where Israel is now, but you see the land of Canaan. It was at that particular time. So he's called to leave, travels 300 miles north. Dad dies at age 205, and then he receives a second calling. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out, it's actually pronounced Abram, Abram. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you. Make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all, how many?
All
the families of the earth shall be blessed. What was his response? Verse 7 of Genesis 12. A lot of scripture this morning. Verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will, not might, not maybe, not sort of, not I'm going to give it and take it back. I will give this land. And now watch, what was Abraham's or Abram's response? And there, say it with me, please, he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. He heard God. He listened to God. He moved with God, and he was a worshiper. There he built an altar to God. So he then departs after this word comes, and this next new move down the way toward Canaan, you got to let these people be real. You know, we think Father Abraham, man, he was just great. He did everything right. You know he didn't. But still, you think, oh, man, it must have been easier for him. So God says to him twice now, come out of your where you live and get out of your family. It's time for you to move. And so he moves with the whole household. By the way, when he moved with that whole household up, the first move, that was probably about 1,000 people traveling with him. That's a huge household he's moving with. And God says, okay, now it's time to get going. I'm going to bless you. Dad's gone. Get away from your family. First person he takes is his nephew, Lot. How many know God deals with us where we're at? And probably he wasn't full of faith yet. He's going to a new place. He's going to a place that he didn't ever go to before. But he builds an altar to Jehovah. Then there's a famine in the land, and he moves down to Egypt. If you want to put that map back up, Pat, that would be great. Thank you. The first one would be great. You're doing great. I was trying to come up with a joke, you know, but I thought, I'm not going to do that to her. Okay, so he comes on down, and he's going to move into Egypt, where there was a cornbread basket, if you will. And so he goes into Egypt. And what does, you know, let's talk history with me. What does he do in Egypt. He's full of faith. He's a man of God. He's dynamic. He's walking on water. Is that what he does?
No.
What's he do to his wife?
He
his sister. He's full of faith. God's spoken to him. He says, this land is your land. This land is my land. Anyway, so he says, I'm going to give it all to you. And I'm with you, and you can go on down and get away from your family. So he brings Lot along. He goes into Egypt because he's hungry, and I understand that. And he goes, you know, I'm hearing from God, but I don't think these enemies are hearing from God. I got this really hot-looking wife. She's to die for, and I don't want to die for her. So, honey, I want you to tell these people who are going to look at you as one sleek taquita here, and I want you to tell them, you're my sister. You know, at that moment, you think she was Satan sitting there thinking to herself, man of faith, huh? Real faith, Abe. You want me to say what? Actually, she was his half-sister. So it wasn't a complete lie. Can you imagine this? You're going to hang me out to dry. And the Pharaoh takes her into his harem. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Abraham saying, see ya, sweetheart. Yeah, I believe God. Can you imagine what the wife was thinking when she, I mean, let her live. What was she thinking? Boy, when I get home, what I'm going to say to you. Would you please hand me a rock? What was she thinking? She says, but she keeps her word. She says, I'm his sister. And the Lord protects her and shows the Pharaoh that she's really his wife. Pharaoh calls him in and in terminology, non-saved king says to the saved man of faith, rebukes him. What are you doing? And then gives him riches and sends him on his way. Now, gives him, yeah, okay, I'll get there. I see the wives are anxious about this. Okay, so, gentlemen, let me give you, if you don't remember anything else this morning from this message, remember, don't ever do that. Don't do that. Pastor said I should tell him, you're my wife, or you're my sister. No, don't do that. Anyway, so he gets his wife back, and you know, it's kind of fun, isn't it? There's no dialogue between them recorded in the Bible. I don't think Abraham wanted it down forever. You know, can you imagine the words they must have had when she got home? Anyway, so they go on their way, and what happens? They go back to where they had come from, up in the Canaan area, and they're dwelling there. Now, like Abraham, I'm sure you and I have had a test in our life or two. But how many know that just like Abraham, when the Lord deals with you and you let him deal with you and you've repented of your sin, come on, anybody in this room ever sin? Okay, a few of you are looking at me like, okay, but like Abraham, I'm sure you're just like Abraham. Once that sin is over with, it's under the blood, it's behind you, you never ever have problems with that sin ever again as long as you live. Isn't that true? Come on, isn't that true? You've repented of your sin. You never have problems with another sin. Oh, I guess that's why we're in church. We need Jesus, don't we? So Abraham has great wealth. He goes back up to live in Hebron. You can put the second map up there if you would, please, Pat. And you can see over to the left-hand side, you'll see some of these communities here. And so you see, he's over here by Shechem and Hebron, Jerusalem, Bethel. So he's come back up from Egypt over into this area. And it's pretty powerful what the Lord does. He's wandering in tents. And God's given him great wealth. And the way they assumed great wealth, they had a lot of servants and they had livestock and they moved around. And then what happens? You know the story where his servants have problems with the servants of Lot. Remember? Over the wells. There's not enough room for all the crops, all the livestock. There's not enough room for the both of them in this land. So what does Abraham do? He gives his nephew Lot choice of the land. And Lot chooses the fertile valleys in which Sodom and Gomorrah were. And Abraham goes to the hill country. So this is continuing. And he finally settles in Hebron. And then God meets him again. I know I'm taking time, but I really want this to live. We're to learn something from the life of Abraham. We'll do so in coming weeks as well. Genesis 13, verses 14 through 18. Genesis 13, 14 through 18. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. What was that? After Lot. If he had obeyed God right away, get away from your family, might he have gotten this word a little bit earlier? But he had to go through more dealings and then finally contention. Come on, has the Lord ever spoken something to your heart? You know you're supposed to do something and you kind of drag your feet and drag your feet and drag your feet and all of a sudden you end up with a problem? And you say, God, I'll do anything if you'll just get me through this problem. He says, okay, let's go back around the mountain where I told you what to do in the first place. And when we do it, we're blessed. So Lot and he separate, and then God has, listen to these incredible words to him. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants, how long?
Forever.
And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. So that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebrew. And please read it with me again. And built an altar there to the Lord. This guy loves the Lord. This guy's building an altar. He's a worshiper. That doesn't mean he's perfect in his faith. Am I looking at a room full of worshipers who have a few things yet to work out in your life with the Lord? We're still growing. So was he. Let's talk about Abraham's faith journey just a little bit. You could say he was nomadic. He simply kept moving. But he kept moving according to faith. When you get a word from God, you don't always get 100% understanding. Sometimes the Lord asks you to step out in faith and he'll give you a little bit of guidance at a time. Have you ever noticed that? All right, I want you to do that. Oh, God, please. The Bible says, my word is a lamp unto your feet. They used to put little ankle lights on their feet. They'd walk at night because the ground was rocky and hilly and they didn't want to stumble. But don't you wish, the scripture said, my word is a beacon for your forehead. Don't you? Yeah. I want to see the whole thing. Before I move, I want to see the whole thing. And God says, no. I want you to step out in faith. My word is a lamp unto your feet. Step by step by step. Remember Paul? Paul wanted to go where? He wanted to go to Asia. He was trying to get in there, and the Bible says the Spirit forbade him. Can you imagine? Paul's a go-getter. Can you imagine the frustration in Paul's spirit? Well, what do you want me to do now? What do you mean? No, you don't want me to go there. Can you imagine Paul getting all agitated? So he goes to sleep that night, and he has a dream. I just love the energy of Paul, don't you? He has a dream. And a man from Macedonia says, come on over here and help me. Paul gets up first thing in the morning. I'll bet he probably woke everybody up. Hey, you guys up yet? We are now. He says, come on. The Lord's shown me where we're supposed to go next. So step by step. And Paul obeyed what Jesus showed him in the dream, and he opened up Christianity to Europe because he obeyed. Step by step by step. Sometimes this life of faith is kind of like bumper cars, isn't it? How many, you know, it's carnival time in Puyallup. How many ever did bumper cars? How many don't know what I'm talking about? You don't know what, okay, don't have them in China. We get involved in these little cars on this motorized thing and we go around and you just slam into each other and it's supposed to be fun. And it is when you're creaming everybody and knocking them out of your path. But if you get knocked out, that's no fun. That's something they did, something wrong. Anyway, you're supposed to knock each other off the path. But it's kind of like it is in faith sometimes. you take a step and bump, okay, not supposed to go that way, and you bump, and you kind of go bumping down the road, it seems like, at times. I wish it was always smooth. Is anybody relating with this? The rest of you just want me to get on with it, huh? You're glad, okay, you're glad it's not smooth, okay. It does make you grow more. That's the point. All right, so he's got this faith journey. And let's talk about two issues in our faith journey this morning. Just two, simple. Number one, how to overcome fear. Fear. Say it with me. Fear. He fears for his life, and he uses his wife. Because of his fear. He passes himself off as her brother in order to save himself. You know, maybe his thought was, they'll kill me, but you can still be alive even if you're in Pharaoh's court. Elijah slays 450 prophets of Baal. And then he gets one word from Jezebel saying, you're going to be dead by the end of the day. And the man's terrified and runs for the hills. Guys, anybody afraid of your wife every now and then? Come on, don't raise your hand. When she's really angry, I go running for the hills, Pastor Dave. God uses a secular, now watch. God uses a secular king to rebuke Abram. That king provides for him wonderfully. But did he get the point? No. Because what did he do again? Genesis 13. And then you go over to Genesis 20. And our man of faith does the same thing. Honey, you're 90 years old now. She's 90 years old. And he says, you are so hot, the king in this place is going to want you. Tell him you're my sister. Can you imagine her throwing again? What's wrong with you? But she's so attractive. She's so attractive because God has done restoring work in her body because he's given them a promise. You're going to have a child. But what happened in her? Fear. Discouragement. It's not happening. Fear. Discouragement. Neutralized faith. And God says, believe me. So, she says, listen, it's not happening for me. God's restoring her body. She's 90 years old. And she's so gorgeous. Another king's going to want her. Now, one commentary, by the way, so you know a full perspective on this, said it wasn't always a harem for sex. Sometimes it was all about, in these cultures, the more women you had in your harem, the more powerful of a person you were. But it preaches more lively to say she was so hot looking at night. But I happen to believe the Lord did do some restoring work. He really did, or she wouldn't have been able to have a baby. And he obviously had to do a little restoring work at Abraham as well. So anyway, we won't go into depth there. So they're both just a couple of haughty, restored, aged people. That's all. That's all. Anyway, so anyway, but he's doing it again. He says, come on, they're going to want you again. So one more time, the Lord protects her. And the king doesn't touch her. Remember, the king gets a dream from God. And the king says, in his innocence, he says to God, Lord, I did this in the integrity of my heart. I didn't know she was his wife. And the Lord is cool. He says, I know you didn't know that. But you restore her and you bless him. So he goes out loaded again. Maybe this is his strategy to just gain wealth. But her fear and her discouragement, now watch, led her to say, I have a handmaiden and I'm never going to have this baby. This promise God has given to me is not ever going to come to pass. And in her fear and in her discouragement, she says, you take him or you take her. And he did have a baby with her. His name was and is Ishmael. That led to generations of contention because of fear that neutralized faith. How do we handle it? How do we handle it? Lord, how come, if you're really blessing me, how come I'm not getting the answers? How come I keep running into difficulty? You say you're going to have a son and nothing but time goes by. God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And by the way, in the last 10, 15 years, 20 years, they've found material in the area by where he lived that has his name on it. It's pretty cool. So confirmation to the scripture. But how come, Lord, you changed my name to Abraham? Do you know what Abraham means? Father of a nation. How about getting beat up by your name? You come into town and you have one kid and they say, hey, what's your name? I'm father of a multitude. Really? Sarah's full of fear. Promises unfulfilled. But they keep walking. I'm not critical of them. I just think it's important for us to understand them. Hebrews 11, verse 9 says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. You know, I happen to believe God is good and gracious toward all of us who keep running to him. Aren't you glad? You know, hey, guys, we blow it. We mess up. Abraham messed up. Sarah messed up. But, you know, God still had a plan for them. And he kept working with them. And aren't you glad that he keeps working with you?
Amen.
Oh, man, where would we be, you guys? Lost. Without the grace of God.
Amen.
Lost without the grace of God. Have you ever become fearful? Have you ever had doubt? Have you ever turned aside to do things yourself? I'll do it my way. If what we're going to do, I'm going to make this happen. Yeah, this is going to work. And blown it? Yeah. Wait a minute. He lived as a sojourner. What that really means in the Greek, sojourner, literally is a long word. I'm not going to give you the Greek word, but it means to live as a stranger, to reside in the land as a foreigner. Wait a minute. God says this is your land. Your descendants are coming as many as the sand of the ground and in other places, you know, stars in the sky. And typically, if you see that stars in the sky means spiritual offspring, and the sand and dust of the earth is the natural offspring. And God's blessing this man in every way. And faith preachers today would say, well, you better go out and live your prosperity, brother. It's your land. Live like you got it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because some of the promises of God, we need to live like we believe it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think this takes us to an important faith lesson, number two. What did Abraham have to deal with? How to overcome stuff. Watch with me and please say this next phrase. Hold Jesus tightly. Hold stuff lightly. If you want to walk in faith and be a part of the promises of God, put your trust in Him and keep your eyes on Him. Don't put your faith in this life. I'm supposed to have full provision now. Fullness of life, health, wealth, prosperity, cars, homes, provision. It's great when it happens. It's a blessing we all rejoice for you when it happens. Abraham was a wealthy man. There's no sin to that. There is no sin to that. There's no sin to that as long as you have it and it doesn't have you. As long as you hold Jesus tightly and stuff lightly. Otherwise, a few years ago when the economy changed and you lost half or more of your portfolio, you would have given up on faith. Hold stuff lightly. Hold Jesus tightly. Just want to say it again. Hold Jesus tightly. Hold stuff lightly. What am I saying? Don't buy real estate. You know I'm not going to say that. Buy lots of it. But they kept walking. But watch, what I want to see, this is really incredible. God's told them this whole land. Would you put the map back up, please, Pat? See, you keep praying for Pat because she needs to work with me, and I'm not the easiest guy. So thank you, Pat. But see, this whole land, he says, it's all yours. I give it to you. It's all yours. Did he walk around like he was big stuff? No, you know, the only time we saw Abraham buy any actual terra firma was when his wife died. And he bought a cave to bury her. It was all hers. It was all his. And he had a generational sight in mind. It wasn't just, I walk with Jesus today to bless me for the goodies today. It's, I'm walking in a way with God that I want to see my children and my grandchildren blessed by God. I want to see my offspring blessed with the presence of God. I don't want to walk contrary to God and walk away from His presence because it'll impact my generations. This land God had given him, He said, arise, walk through the land, and every place you put your foot, it's your land. But how did he walk in it? Lived in tents. And he kept moving. And he lived as a stranger. And God kept giving him more stuff, and he kept walking as a sojourner, and so God kept giving him more stuff because stuff didn't ruin him. And what did he do? What did he do? Hebrews 11, verse 10 is what he did. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Out of the New Living, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Out of the Message, Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. New American Standard. He was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Everywhere he went, he kept making an altar because he loved God. And he blew it, but he got up and kept walking with God. And God said, okay, I'm going to work with you again. And he gives Sarah over again as his sister. But he gets up, they go on, and he keeps moving, and he keeps moving. And God gets blessing him with stuff. But he's restless in his spirit because he said, I know life is not just in the stuff. Life is wherever God wants to build the city. I want to be where God wants to be, and what God's doing is what I want to be in. And if my life's not blessed, or if I don't have all the stuff, or I don't have all the health, or I don't have the greatest job, or my retirement blows up, I still have Him. No matter what, I still have Him. And someday, I'm going to see Him face to face. And someday, some of the ones I've loved who have gone before me will greet me when I go to see Him face to face. Because this isn't all there is. This is a short time. But eternity is where I'm going to find someday this city whose builder and maker is God. I just pray to God that when I get there, I was thinking about this morning. I thought, oh God, help me to feed your people in such a way that they're strengthened, that they help us to build your church right and be a part of the building that you're doing on earth. But someday I don't want God to say, you didn't feed them right. Kev, or you didn't take care of him, or whatever. I want the grace of God to welcome us all in where we say, here we are, home in the city of God. And you know, all those questions we have in his presence, I'm sure they'll just melt away. And they won't seem so important then. But it's not the stuff we're living for. If you sell yourself out for the stuff and lose your soul, you've lost it all.
That's right.
Jesus is everything. So I think of these Hebrews who were so tossed and grieved and torn and their persecution, and I think of them, and I think of the reality. It's just real. I think, oh my gosh, they wanted to give up. This is painful. This is fiery. I can't even see Jesus. Didn't we really make the right choice? And Jesus says, keep going. You made the right choice. You haven't yet resisted to blood, but hey, along the way, here's a few people I want to remind you about to encourage you, because they did it. They did it. Let them encourage you today as you walk with Jesus. This week as you walk with Jesus. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows any hurt you have, any difficulty. He knows the blessings, the triumphs, the joys, and the pain. So what did Abraham do in his faith walk? He listened to God. He left because God told him to. He lived lightly in the land of promise. And he looked for God's city and provision in his presence. By faith, Abraham. Please stand with me, please. Musicians, will you come? Let's finish with the chorus of I Am a Friend of God. How many like being a friend of God? Sometimes you look at the scripture and go, man, when he treats his friends that way, I'm sure glad I'm not his enemy. But thank God we get to be, by the grace of God, his friend. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to you, I urge you, enjoy being the friend of God. Know that he's got his hands on you. And keep walking by faith. Don't give up. Don't draw back. Go on by faith. We surrender, Lord. We love you so much. We pray that you will have your full liberty in our lives. And as we leave this place today, we do so thankful for the heroes of the faith that show us how to keep walking. Bless your people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you need further prayer for any reason at all, come on up front. We'll be honored to pray for you. Remember this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Have a fantastic week in the Lord. Be released.